And it's not just people like Robin who are talking about universal basic income. Governments in Switzerland, Finland, even Kenya are considering the idea. So could it get traction in the U.S.? Absolutely, says journalist Rutger Bregman. He's the author of Utopia for Realists, and he says the idea of a universal basic income has actually been explored in the U.S. before.
Yeah, it's a very old idea, actually. I think it goes back to, you could say, Thomas Paine, you know, the founding father of the United States,
or one of the founding fathers.
He actually argued in favor of a basic income in 1797. So, and he said that the basic income should be seen as a dividend of progress. So because our forefathers worked so hard to, you know, to create all these technologies and all these institutions and all these prosperities, that we can now give everyone a share of their accomplishments so that we can share this gift from the past. This is a very old idea, actually, and it's coming back every now and then. So there was a huge debate in England about it in the 1920s. There was a very big debate about it in the 1960s and the 70s in the U.S., and President Nixon almost implemented a modest basic income. And now it's coming back. So we're in the third round, actually.
The fact that Richard Nixon pushed for a universal basic income was really surprising to me. What was going on?
Yeah, well, many people see the basic income as a sort of a left-wing fantasy. But it might come as a surprise that there were many actually right-wing thinkers, for example, Friedrich von Hayek and Milton Friedman, you know, the famous neoliberal economists, who also argued in favor of a basic income. And they said it's a good idea because it's all about individual responsibility. And yeah, Nixon was a president who wanted to, you know, create this ultimate marriage between left-wing and right-wing policies. It almost happened.
How much was Nixon proposing as the basic income, and what would that translate into today?
It was about $10,000 for a family. The interesting thing is that the Democrats at that point said, well, this is a great idea. Let's introduce a basic income. But some Democrats in the Senate said it's not high enough.
Huh.
So they voted against it.
Yeah. Well, but speaking of the financing, I just don't see how a country, especially a country as big as the U.S., how would a country be able to afford to give everybody a basic income of, you know, say, $10,000?
Well, I think you have to look at the net result. So not everyone, of course, would profit. There are many people who would receive a basic income, but who would see their taxes rise by the same amount. So there won't change much for them. And there are also many people who would receive a basic income, many, for example, the billionaires, but see their taxes rise by much more. So I think you really have to look at what's the net redistribution of a basic income plan, and then you'll see that it's actually not about that much money. You know, it's actually pretty cheap to eradicate poverty. There's one economist who calculated that it would cost about $175 billion to completely eradicate poverty in the United States. Well, that's of course a lot of money, but it's only a quarter of the country's military budget. And one study that was conducted in 2013 shows that only child poverty, the costs of only child poverty are actually $500 billion. So I always say, you know, we can't afford poverty. It's too expensive.
Well, why not just give money to the poor then, or to anybody who's below the poverty line? Wouldn't that cost less?
Well, I think there's a good reason not to do so, because if you would make it a universal basic income, then there would be no stigma attached to it, to receiving the benefit. And we also see this nowadays. So the welfare states that have the most universal programs nowadays are actually the most successful in reducing poverty, because the middle class also profits. There's one, actually, the architect of the British welfare state once said that a policy for the poor is a poor policy, and I think that's true.
But I guess what I don't understand is, if you raise the income for everybody, isn't that just going to basically change the cost of living so it all just gets canceled out?
Well, that would definitely happen if you just print the money. You know, if you finance it by starting the presses. This is what Milton Friedman, the economist, called helicopter money. And there's actually a lot of economists, very famous economists even, who are saying that we should do this right now, especially in Europe, where we have deflation and we actually need inflation. So some people are proposing that we should do this. But obviously, this is not a long-term solution. So you'd have to finance the basic income with taxes. And in that way, the total money supply wouldn't rise. So that's interesting. I always get this question. People never don't ask about, will everyone be lazy or can we even afford it? No, the first question is always, won't it just cause massive inflation?
So what's the closest that any country has come, do you think, to trying some of the things we're talking about? Are there places that you think are really kind of taking this seriously?
Well, there's this huge surge of interest in the idea of a basic income. So Switzerland is having a referendum in June. Finland has announced a very big experiment. There's going to be an even bigger experiment in Kenya that will last about 10 years. The really interesting thing is that the debate is really international nowadays. And what I also think is that there's a new generation. You know, I'm 28 and I really meet many young people who say, you know, I'm not really into left-wing politics or right-wing politics. I just want to have a big state in terms of redistribution, to give everyone a chance to make something of their lives. But I want to have a small state in terms of paternalism. And our political landscape nowadays doesn't really give that option, you know? It's you're either left-wing and paternalistic, or you're right-wing and you're against redistribution and you mostly want to force people into work. What I think that's happening is that there's sort of a new ideology emerging. You could say it's sort of a new version of anarchism. It's really interesting to see what will happen with that.
Say more. What do you mean it's a new version of anarchism?
Well, the anarchists, you know, they were always regarded as the crazy ideology that didn't turn out to work. They want to abolish the state. So I'm not in favor, of course, of abolishing the state. But what I do think is interesting in the works of many famous anarchists, like, for example, Peter Kropotkin, the Russian anarchist, he had a very positive image of human nature. So he and many other anarchists as well thought that, you know, most people are pretty nice. You know, they want to do something with their lives, and you know, mm-hmm. you can trust them if you just give them the means to do so. And this is a quite radical idea that may start to spread. It's just not represented yet in our politics.
Radical goodness. I like it.
Yeah. It's sort of you could call it the banality of the good, you know? We always, you know, especially if you watch a lot of the news, you know, you always hear about the exceptions. So mm-hmm. I always say you should never watch the news, because at the end of the day, you know exactly how the world doesn't work. Because you've only seen exceptions like terrorism and corruption, et cetera, et cetera. But the norm in our societies is just goodness, banality of goodness, simple forms of cooperations and, you know, people opening the door for you and helping you carrying a bag or whatever. You know, it's all around us. Most people are pretty nice. It's just that it's never on the news.
Except here. Rutger Bregman is the author of Utopia for Realists, The Case for a Universal Basic Income, Open Borders, and a 15-Hour Work Week.